I think somebody got here early today. Looks sounds like Leroy is in the house.
Yeah, kind of took out Brianna on his way in.
That's right. Brianna understands. Leroy got to come in and get a front row seat today because we're going to have a really cool show. It's our first, is it our first Saturday show?
Yeah.
We start on a Saturday. No. We started on a Saturday and it didn't work. That's what it was.
Yeah, well, we were using a different platform.
Maybe we ought to start off with, my name is Oro Cass, and over there across the room, my lovely co-host and the techie anchor of the show, Ms. Paula, and we're here to give you another round on KDCL Media, the pride of internet radio for Deep Creek Lake, Garrett County, Maryland, and the world. And we're here for almost a full hour of And Then Some Again with Oro and Paula Cass. Strap in, it's going to be a good one.
That was the one that you were looking for. That
no, it ain't. That ain't the one I was looking for. But anyhow.
Yes, it was.
That's the cricket.
I know, that's the cricket that you were looking for, not the one that
you...
Know,
oh, okay, I get it. You're showing me that you got a new one, a new cricket. Okay, I get it.
It's a old new cricket.
Go. I like that one, too. But anyhow, enough of messing around with the drops. We like to have a little fun with the switchboard. But we do have a chat room. It is open. So if you happen to be listening in remotely, be sure and come on over to blogtalkradio.com/KDCL Media and get you a listener account. What are you making a face about?
Listening in remotely?
Yeah, on a telephone. They could be dialed in on a telephone.
Everybody's remote from us.
Okay, talk away. Go ahead. You got the mic.
No, I'm good. I'm just... You know. Yeah, it's going to be one of them days. Okay, we're going to talk about a variety of topics this afternoon, and I'm going to have to shut... I think I got a speaker on it. I need to shut off because I hear an echo.
Mine's not echoing, is it? I mean,
no.
I can hear me in the background on yours, I think, but everything should be good. I think we got the mics, everything set up right. I never did call in to check in, so we can do that while you talk.
No, I got it. I think it should clear it up there because I was getting that weird feedback loop because my computer speakers were on. So I think we got that all taken care of now, but it's... I started to say we're going to cover a variety of topics here today. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things we have for ONP's Finders Keepers and some of the work that we're doing with both of the stores. We got the eBay store up and going. I've got close to 100 items on there, and I need to do some more work on that, but I'm in the middle of a project for Oro setting up some things on the computer for him, so we'll get hopefully sneak in some eBay time and 3D cart time in between all of that.
Yeah, I just checked in with the phone. Everything's sounding real good. Yep, I am too. Cool. So, the call-in number, folks, in case you're wondering where I called in to check things out, is 515-602-9763. Be sure and mark that up as a save in your phone so you can dial in and listen to us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Tuesday, Thursday shows are at 9 p.m. Eastern, and Saturday, of course, 3 p.m. And very soon, we're going to be bumping up the number of days we're on and the number of hours we're on.
The number of hours?
That's
I don't
it.
Think we have I don't think we have enough hours in a day to be bumping up hours, do we?
Hey, I miss the old days back in 2010 when we got on and we were on for 3 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. That was fun. We had a lot of really cool shows. Actually, back then, though, we didn't just have one show. We had, I think the most we had in one week at one point was four, wasn't it? Four different shows or three?
Yeah, we had
per week.
What, Candela's Corner, Oro and Then Some, or Chasing the Silver Eagle.
There for a while, they were combined, kind
of. Right. Dia and I did After Dark and Crone's Corner. There was Egun and Then Some. There was some couple of odds and ends thrown in there, Mountain Home and a couple others. I guess you'd call them test shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were. We did a lot. We did a large variety. Is the word I'm trying to spit out. But one of my favorite subjects that anybody that's listened to us in the past will know, and we always did this on our shows. It had to do with business or whatever. And one of my favorite topics is pretty much motivation and attitude. And I wanted to cover that just a little bit today because I was digging around in the library and found one of my favorite authors and was reminded of his great series of books. And the one that I found was Don't Sweat the Small Stuff About Money. Richard Carlson, PhD, wrote it, and it's a small book. It's not a big book. It's a little book, and he has quite a few different. Now I'm getting a weird echo. What'd you change over there?
Nothing. I had my mute button on. I just turned it back or off on. I just turned it off.
Okay. Well, that's what it was then. And yeah, we're still a little bit on the audio challenge side. Things today, but that's getting better every time we get on. But anyhow, I wanted to these books are just made up of little 3, 4, 5 paragraph passages, and this one, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff, is his first book. And then it goes there from there. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff at Work. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff in Love. And this one is my favorite when it comes to business, because it's Don't Sweat the Small Stuff About Money. I want to share one of the passages with you. And this is something that we hear all the time whenever you're marketing a product or a service or whatever. Imagine even people like plumbers, electricians or whatever, even, you know, your normal regular business people probably hear it once in a while. And that is whenever you go to present whatever it is that you have to offer, and someone in the crowd speaks up and says, well, that sounds too good to be true. And we all know what our mama said about if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. My mama included in that. She was a postmaster, so she knew all about all the different postal scams going on in the 80s and 90s. So, and that was her favorite saying. It sounds too good to be true. It probably is. Okay. But now Richard Carlson, a PhD, mind you, has a little bit different take on it. Because number 10 in this book is titled, Consider the Possibilities That If It Sounds Too Good to Be True, It Might Not Be. The old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is not always correct. In fact, cynicism and doubt that are inherent in this belief can and do keep people from taking advantage of excellent opportunities. Cynicism contradicts abundance. Cynics, critics, and doubters are clouded by their own destructive, self-defeating filters that say things like, well, that can't work, that's impossible, or it's too good to be true. These people are big-time worriers. They're concerned with what other people think, and they're stuck in doing things the right way, wiggling fingers, the same way everyone else does them. These people have closed minds that are fixated on the status quo. I was lucky enough to hear about a great stock from a good friend of mine. He told me and 4 others what he knew about it. Unfortunately for my other friends, they were true cynics. Sure, they all said in a sarcastic tone, I'll bet it's a great deal. They instantly dismissed the suggestion. I've learned, however, to keep an open mind. And while I would probably decide to buy less than 1 stock in every 100 that I hear about, I'm always willing to take a look. It took me less than an hour to do a little bit of research on the stock, and I decided to buy a few shares. Lo and behold, the stock doubled in less than a month. Lucky? Of course. But had I not been open-minded, I wouldn't have been in a position to be lucky. If you think it's too good to be true, you'll be very hesitant to take a careful look at it, and you'll dismiss it as being superficial or too risky. What happens, however, if you're wrong? You'll miss out. Often there are great deals and wonderful opportunities that come your way. But to take advantage of them, you must be open, willing to take a look, learn something new, try something different. Obviously, this doesn't mean you jump into risky ventures or avoid careful consideration. But it does mean that sometimes you have to do something a little different to do a little better, to have a little more. Being a non-worrier doesn't guarantee success, but it sure makes it easier to spot a great opportunity when it comes your way. You'll be far more open to taking a look, to considering new options, new ways of doing things, marketing products or services, or taking an uncharacteristic risk. By becoming a less cynical, more open-minded non-worrier, you'll bring far more joy into your work and open the door to far more abundance in your business and career.
Yes, we were lucky enough to hear Richard Carlson speak at a series of meetings that we went to, virtual webinars, I guess you would call them, with called Rise Up, the Rise Up Challenge with Pete Vargas III. Richard Carlson was one of the guest speakers. He had in day 22.
One of my heroes. He had a lot of my heroes on that one. He had Damon from Shark Tank. Tony Robbins. Yeah.
Les Brown.
Les Brown is one of my all-time favorite motivational speakers. And that's something that I'm glad you brought that up, because it leads me to something else. We were introduced to a motivational speaker during the same time, during the back in the 90s when we were marketing, and we were hanging out at a conference in Cancun, and the motivational speaker that was working with the company that we worked with, name was Mike Conaway. He's a religious man, a preacher, I believe.
He's preaching down in
Dallas,
northwestern
part of the country.
In Dallas.
Or he's in Dallas now. But this guy was so good with the motivational stuff that we were actually standing on a staircase in the middle of the hotel lobby. And this was a beachfront hotel in Cancun. And we were standing, a group of about 50 people, because this guy had just been on stage for 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever, the afternoon, that same afternoon. And he kept the energy going one way or another all the way through the dinner hour and into the evening, where he was on again. And then after that was over, it was like, what was it, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And
yeah,
there was a group
of
50 people standing in this staircase and around the lobby floor listening to Coach Mike talk. Still, it was like 6 hours of Coach Mike. And it ended with this hour-long deal at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the lobby. And that just shows you the kind of power that some people's voices and what the message that they have to deliver can have on people. It was one of the most exciting times of my life, meeting this guy. We got the audio series that he was selling at the event. And it's from the old days, because it's called cassettes. And yeah, we got the, I think it's a 12 cassette set up. And I'm looking forward to getting Coach Mike's permission so that we can share it here on the radio show. Once we get a longer show, we're going to be doing segments where we highlight a motivational speaker or a business type person, somebody that's successful in business, whatever. And we're also looking forward, once we bump our time up to 2 or 3 hour shows, we're looking forward to doing, getting back into interviews. When we were on the air before, back in 09, 10, up through 2014, we did quite a few interviews with a lot of really influential people. And I'm looking forward to getting back into that part of the radio show.
Yeah, it was tiring, but it was a good time. We had a lot of fun. met a lot of really cool people.
Well, because of the number of subjects we covered, we were able to, you know, really mix it up as far as the different shows and so on. If somebody, you know, tuned in and we were doing one show that wasn't of their particular taste, all they had to do was look at our studio board and on Blog Talk to see what other shows we offer. And we always say this in the post, and I want to say it here, so when somebody's listening to this, probably in archive, and they hear it, you definitely want to come in. This is what I was trying to make before. If you just happen to be calling in on a cell phone or something, and you're not seeing the chat room, you're not seeing the Blog Talk website, we really like it for people to come to the Blog Talk website. That's what I gave you before, blogtalkradio.com/KDCL Media. When you get there, or whenever you come in to sign in for a show, you can use the site instead of just calling in. And what you want to do is set up a free listener account. Doesn't cost anything, and they take minimal information. Matter of fact, you can even make up a new email just for that in case you're afraid of being spammed. And set it up so that you have a screen name on Blog Talk. Then when you join us in the chat room, you'll be able to participate instead of just showing up as unknown user. Because here's the reason why. We're going to have contests. We're going to have giveaways, which we've always done in the past and had a lot of fun with that also. And we're going to give away some of our new products. If you notice, we're not using the company name right now, because we've been doing a lot of serious training on how to do this business on the internet and how to, you know, work the business and still be working with social media at the same time and so on and so forth. So you're going to notice a little bit of change in the way we do things around here. And that's going to be for the better. So this is how long we've got? Oh, we're always doing 20 minutes.
Well, yeah, we have 41 minutes left to go. And did you get your books there nearby where you said you wanted to talk about there on your show notes? You said you wanted some of your antique books that we have gotten through some of our storage treasures adventures. And we have some from the 1800s all the way up through up through the 90s, I guess it was, when this couple started to collect things and put them in their storage unit. I think after her husband died, she took his collections and put them in a storage unit, and that was one of the ones that we won off of an online auction. So we thought we'd share some of them with you. And after we've shared them with y'all and in Oro's Antique Books Facebook page, we're going to list them on our e-commerce site on 3D Cart and on O&P's Finders Keepers on eBay for sale. So you'll want to keep out an weather eye for those. There'll be some of them will be coffee table. There's one coffee table book. If we were planning on living someplace where we were going to have a coffee table in the future, I would probably keep this book. But it's
yeah, right.
It's a coffee table book of
a coffee table in an RV.
Of Audubon. It's from the Audubon Society. It's one of those great big books that if you go in the bookstore and pay for them, it's like a $75 book, but with beautiful illustrations and the nice shiny paper. And I almost hate to see it go out the door, but it'd be nice for somebody else to be able to enjoy it. We have coffee table books. We have they traveled a lot to Ireland. And over into Europe, we have a lot of books about Ireland. a lot of books in relation to the Catholic Church, history, prayers, all kinds of really interesting books. I think the lady of the house, so to speak, was Catholic educated from some of the books that we found in the unit. And they're really into it. We have some in German. We have some in Latin. It's just a really interesting combination. He was a Civil War buff. We have a lot of Civil War books, a lot of fiction, child and young adult fiction. We had some Nancy Drew and some Hardy Boys. I think we've sold all of those. But we have Beatrix Potter, gentleman that wrote Winnie the Pooh. We had some of those, but we sold those. We had, I think, like 4 or 5 books in the Winnie the Pooh series. And I didn't realize, I wasn't that familiar with the Winnie the Pooh books. I didn't realize there was a series of them. But it's been an interesting experience going through these books. There's old school books, old textbook, college textbooks.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about genre? We got just about everything that you can possibly think of.
Hell,
there's even one over here in the pile you're talking about that's from Hitler's Germany.
Yeah.
Third Reich.
There's one that's a place called the Denver Club in Denver, Colorado, back when it was railroad and gold mining town. The robber barons, so to speak, had a gentleman's club. I don't know if it was I think it was strictly a gentleman's club called the Denver Club. And the building still exists today. I don't think the club is still in existence. But it's a leather-bound, beautifully printed book of all the members and the bylaws and things like that. Somebody who is big into Colorado history, I think we'll get a kick out of that. But it's from 1888, the Denver Club 1888 membership.
Yeah.
Cookbooks, how-to books, health and wellness books.
Well, and then we got these really weird ones like this one. This is one I just posted on the Facebook group. Old books, magazines, and newspapers.
Oh, magazines. We got them out the...
And this book is called The Greatest Thing in the World. It's a small book. It's a miniature book. You know, when I say small book, it's a little... That means it's a little bigger than a pocket book, the paper pocket books, but it's a lot smaller than a normal size book. It's very thin. It only has... 32 readable pages, and it's about Bible verses from James Pott, P-O-T-T and Company, in case you're about to hear this and looking it up. But here's what's really cool. You look at the cover on this book, you're thinking maybe 60s.
Late
50s, early 60s.
Yeah, because it's in excellent condition.
As in 1960?
I mean, the colored ink, the white ink that made up the decorations on the cover and everything.
I know. I'm glad you're describing it, because it is in beautiful shape. Every page is attached in the binding. There's no rot of any kind. There's just a little bit of wear in the front of the binding because of the glue dried up. And it could very well be that somebody recovered it. But the inside is original, and the copyright on it is 1890. Now, if you're just listening and not looking, check it out over on Facebook.
It's inspirational. I mean, it's Bible verses, but it's inspirational Bible verses that we would consider uplifting. But I really didn't pay much attention to old books. My grandparents had had things like where my grandmother had, you know, like old cookbooks that were her mother's and things that came down through the family and the family Bibles. And but to get into somebody's collection that they actually made an effort to, you know, collect these books, you know, like I said, from, I think the oldest one we have is 1803 or 08 or something like that, all the way up to the 90s. And it makes an interesting cross section of literature, worldwide and American literature. Like I said, there's William F. Buckley, Look Magazine, Life Magazine, all kinds of, well, they were into real estate, so there's all kinds of Southern living, Southern accent. I'm not sure that they ever threw away a magazine, a check stub, or a shopping receipt, because it was all in there. And there's a lot of local books from around Winchester that has to do with local Winchester history. So we've got, you know, for somebody who was interested in the Civil War, Virginia history, like I said, the little bit of Colorado history, we have great coffee table picture books from Ireland and England. And he collected the miniature soldiers. They used to be made out of lead or tin, and I think they make them out of zinc now, I'm not sure, but that they bought when they traveled, and nutcrackers, and just, I mean, beautiful china and crystal. And there, it was just a whole cross section of somebody who was who was considered wealthy in Winchester. They had a real estate business. They had a couple of restaurants. They were involved in, you know, like the Apple Blossom Festival and things like that. So it was, you know, they were very involved in the community. And it was just, she ran for political office. It was interesting to see somebody's life from that perspective. We used to go to a lot of auctions. My mom loved to go to auctions, and around here where we live in rural Maryland, so farm auctions, I mean, if you want to see a cross section of somebody's life, back 4, 5, 6 generations, farm auctions are the way to go, because a lot of times the farms come down through the families. And my grandparents' farm belonged to my great-great-grandfather. And there's another family farm that belonged to my great-grandfather. So we have, if you did a farm auction on those farms, it would be a great great history of some of the things that came down through the family. And even though they weren't wealthy dollar-wise, some of the things that came down through the family are considered, well, they're antiques. And so they're, you know, they have some monetary value today, but back in their day, they were dishes that, you know, the federal glass that came out of the soap boxes.
Well,
and
that's what it was to them, the same as what the dishes are out here in the cupboard were to us. They're everyday dishes. And nowadays, one dish might be worth $200.
Yeah.
Just because of the age of it.
Well, and it's, you know, what they call depression glass or federal glass or Fenton or any of the big glass companies that were out in West Virginia and Ohio and New York, you know, that are no longer in business. We have, it came out of your mother's collection, that one, the ruby glass brandy snifter. It was made by Edgar Hocking. It's, you know, worth $300. And now, it's true that antiques are only worth what somebody will pay for them. But
yeah, well, even though it's only a 1-hour show, and that's about to change, just because I'm loading up the switchboard with a lot of good stuff. I want to go ahead. I said this on the show, I think it was Tuesday, so I want to follow through, since I didn't do it Thursday. Or maybe I said it Thursday, so now we're just now following through. But we played a song called Waiting on Lightning. And the gentleman that did that song is a friend of ours we met in the gold mining fields of the 11 Western states. He very talented with guitar and his singing voice. So we bought CDs of his, and he told us to be sure and share them far and wide, you know, let people hear what I did my short time I spent in Nashville. So, and to honor that and to honor Dighton, we're going to put on my favorite, which is, I mean, this is Waiting on Lightning is a great song. Alaska Girl is a great song. But when it comes to my favorite Dighton song, this is it. And it's called Building Blocks of Love. I hope y'all enjoy it as much as I do.
She said, "Daddy, would you play with me? It's toys built from the box. Among the things that tumbled out was a set of painted blocks. Daddy, do you still know all your ABCs? If you're not busy, maybe you could teach them to me." And I said, "Amy. A is for apple, you're the apple of my eye. B is for boys, avoid them at all times. C's for cotton candy, you're the sweetest we can be. D is for daddy, who loves you A to Z." We played there for hours, building blocks of love. Stacked our way through every letter, she couldn't get enough. Later on, sleepy eyes, as I tucked her in, she looked shyly up at me and said, "Tell me again." A is for apple, you're the apple of my eye. B, you're so beautiful, my heart swells up inside. C's for cotton candy, daddy's love is deep. Amy kinda drifted off before I got to E. A is for Amy, little angel in my life. B, I'm believing Jesus will watch over you tonight. C, I count it precious as I pray for time enough to nurture my daughter's dreams of building blocks of love. That day came a father I just can't think about, boxing up her treasures when she was moving out. Clinging tight to memories, holding old blocks in her hand, Amy came to me, "Dad, fill me again." And I said, "Amy. A is for Amy, you're the apple of my eye. A B, I was breaking down. C, I could only cry. D's for my daughter's love, and all she means to me. Amy wrapped me in her arms before I got to E. A is for Amy. I look up and smile. Thank you for this blessing that I held for a while. C is to cry in shame, I didn't thank you near enough. For D and my daughter's life and building blocks of love.
I don't hear you.
Because I can turn that on you, Will. Dighton Gillian, I think is how you say his last name. And good friend of ours from our adventures back in 2015 in the great state of Northern California. So, looks like we're working on about 23 minutes left here. And what else is there to talk about?
I don't know. Well, you had some show notes over there, but I don't.
No, I didn't make any notes on today's show. But anyhow.
Well, you said you wanted to talk about the store and you wanted to talk about World
there's
Expeditions.
There's what's missing is the store. OMPs, Finders Keepers. That's our business that we are running, sole proprietorship. We were right in the process of turning it into a brick-and-mortar store after our short-term experience being in a flea market situation. And there we had to pay almost as much in the fees to be there as we did money we made selling our stuff. So it wasn't working out very good as far as profit. And we had the idea we were going to go brick-and-mortar. I'm even in the search for, we have a business plan wrote up as far as what we'd like to build. It's a pretty complex package plan that includes putting a couple of different businesses into one. So that's something that we're working on at all times, trying to put together whenever it happens, and hopefully this whole coronavirus thing gets over with and we can go back to putting lime in our coronas and instead of worrying about it, whether or not it's going to kill us.
Yeah. Yes. We've lost a lot of famous people that were getting up in their years, and a lot of talented musicians and whatnot to, this COVID-19 coronavirus.
Well, the statistics they're talking about worldwide are the same as if it was a world war going on.
Yes.
It's comparable. The amount of people dying from it around the world is comparable to, you know, world war statistics. So.
Well, the sad thing about that, though, is we lose that number of people every year during flu/influenza season. But we don't hear about that. We just hear about, you know, getting your flu shot and your pneumonia shot and getting all your vaccines. But we're still losing tens of thousands of people every year to whatever the flu strain is. To me, COVID-19 is just the latest, you know, H1N1 swine flu, SARS, MRSA, you know.
Well, and if that's the case, then it means it's never going to go away. We're always going to be dealing with it. So what we got to do is what they're working on is to find a vaccine for it and then decide who needs to take the vaccine. If I'm not sick from it and I don't ever get sick from it, I'm not getting a vaccine for it.
Well, they've made vaccines for all these different swine flu and all, you know, bird flu. And, you know, they've got vaccines for all these different types of flu. And every year when you get the flu shot, it's supposed to hopefully help you battle whatever the strain of the year is this year. But you can't always go by that. I mean, once a virus is on the earth, it don't leave. There's, what was it? There's a cemetery up in Norway that if you dug up the people that died from the Spanish flu, you could still find Spanish flu virus that's not in some lab someplace.
Yeah, it's kind of scary what is buried and underwater, different ways to get rid of stuff,
you know,
we don't want around.
In the jungles, you never know, you know, where it survived at. So from time immemorial, once the virus is here, it's here.
So do you think this was manufactured or do you think it just happened?
I think it was a lab accident, personally. I think it was an accident.
Yeah, that's where we agree. That's
something like out of the stand.
Would say you're going with accident, not set loose on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I realize the Chinese population is so large that if you think about the earthquakes and, you know, the natural disasters and everything they have every year and the number of people that die in China every year, it's an incredible number.
Yeah.
But their population is so large that...
you don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, right.
What's a large number for us isn't a big deal for isn't as big a deal for them.
But they're also a massive country.
Well, I've seen the videos, and I'm not sure why people feel like they have to put them on YouTube and the different video places on the internet. But you can find them just about anywhere, and it's these videos of what appears to be, I won't accuse anybody here, but what appears to be Chinese people eating various animals. And we're not talking about just your average ordinary animals. We're talking about, it's like a contest to see who can eat the weirdest, grossest thing. And it's like they're a popular video to make in China because there's so many of them.
It's like
and the number of animals that they're consuming, the different weird animals they're consuming is incredible. Things like live turtles and, you know, live octopus. I mean, I watched a video, I don't even watch the whole thing. I watch them just enough to see what they're eating and then turn it off. But the one video was titled that the woman almost died because she swallowed a live octopus and so on. And I mean, what is the purpose? What is the reason for someone to eat something that they know is going to do them bodily harm?
It's like these idiots that eat Tide Pods and the hottest pepper in the world. And
well, now, Tide Pod, that's a different story. That went way beyond anything there. Because anybody with a half a brain knows what happens if you ingest a large amount of soap. And then you take the fact that a Tide Pod is three different kinds of soap, and they're all seriously concentrated into, you know, well, they're concentrated. So,
I mean, not to be cold-hearted or anything, but I guess that's one way to clean out the gene pool. But, you know, why anybody would come up with such... this thing of wanting this microwave existence where everything is instant and you get everything instantly and, oh, I'm going to be a big YouTube star and get a million views because I ate a Tide Pod. That's not fame. That's showing people how stupid you are.
Yeah, stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But, yeah, it's now it comes down to a really strange, weird, gross version of which came first, the chicken or the egg. Which came first, the people eating the weird animals or the virus? Was the virus made by a person in the lab, or was it contracted because somebody ate an animal that had something going on with it? We don't know, and we probably never know for sure.
Supposedly, that somebody was making a study of these bats that had this strain of COVID-19 in a lab.
And I thought it was COVID-16 or something, and it's mutated three or four times, is why it's now 19.
Well, whatever. But supposedly, they were studying a naturally occurring virus in bats. That's why it was in this lab at all.
Yeah.
And apparently one of the researchers contracted it.
So that's a reasonable story. You know, it got loose from a lab and now we have to deal with it. And, you know, that's probably the way all of them in history have started one way or another. You know, some of the different things we've dealt with in the past have come from where it was only in animals, and then for whatever reason it mutated where it could jump to humans. So it's just a bad thing all the way around, and I, for one, I'm going to be glad when things get back to whatever normal was going to be here in the next month or two.
Well, it could be that it was just they picked this to instead of, you know, everybody getting a chip, everybody's going to get an international immunology card that says that you're immune.
Oh, my God.
Or,
I've gone over that whole, what do they call it, the movie virus or whatever.
Yeah.
It's all Bill Gates and all that other big money, and they're going to – it's depopulation and yeah.
George Soros and all that.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, seriously, I can see that. Because they didn't make any big deal out of any of these other viruses that come, any of these flus that come through every year, other than to say, well, we're getting, everybody better get their flu shot. You know, it's going to be a really bad flu year. But
yeah.
Now all of a sudden we're shutting down businesses and stores and, you know, we're shutting down the whole country.
Okay, but now think about it. If you remember right, kind of way to ease out of this topic. If you remember right, back in the 90s, those seminars we like to talk about, we heard somebody on stage talk about exactly what's happening right now.
Well, and then...
And it had to do with, you know, maybe not Bill Gates, but somebody with that kind of money.
We've had, when we were doing our other shows, at the end of the year, we'd get well-known prognosticators or psychics, and they would come on. And the last couple of years, they were predicting a pandemic. So, yeah, you can take that for whatever grain, with whatever grain of salt you want.
Yeah. Well, it looks like a little over 10 minutes left in this show, and we did actually have somebody surf in and have a listen, so that's cool. I believe it's our first. So, first listener after three shows, we're doing pretty good. And just so you know, folks, people that are going to hear this in archive, at one point, I like to brag this up because it's, you know, it's just, for one thing, it's fact, but for another thing, it's something that Miss Paul and I accomplished. And I'm real proud of it. And that is the fact that in our heyday on this particular site, as a matter of fact, we would turn on a show, and it would be a 3-hour show. And it was happening anywhere from five nights a week upwards of 7 nights a week. On any given live show, we would have anywhere from 5,000 to, say, upwards of 10,000 people around the world listening to the live show. And then we would get the archive listens would start coming in. And you can look at some of the archive shows still show up on our Blog Talk page where 500, 600, 700 listens on each show. So we had the audience. We always bragged it up that we were in 19 countries. One of our biggest audiences per country was probably Christchurch, New Zealand, where a whole group of people used to gather in a diner, and it was like 12 hours different. So they were gathering there for breakfast the next day from when our show was on and listening to our live show as a group. So that was really cool. We used to get every once in a while they'd call into the switchboard. We had a gentleman in Western Australia that was in the middle of the gold fields of Western Australia. He was a good friend and always made sure he called in and was part of the Oro Expedition show that we did. So we had the audience at one time. We're going to build it back up bigger and better now than we had it before. So stay tuned for bigger and better things happening here on KDCL Media. And then some again with Oro and Paula Cass, because we're gonna make it rock.
And we are KDCL Media, the pride of internet radio for Deep Creek Lake, Garrett County, Maryland, and the world. We didn't do that when we come on air. Oh, the air machine. We're going to have to, all the ambient sounds we have in this room. Okay.
Hmm. most memorable one, of course, was Gold Camp down in North Carolina, where we actually did a show. I'm hearing that loop-de-loop thing again. I hope that's not going out.
But, well, let's see. There was, that was the one in Georgia. Golden Jim Grubbin is the one in Georgia, Cleveland, Georgia.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the one in North Carolina.
It was,
it's right there by the LDMA camp.
It's right on the tip of my tongue. Lucky Strike? No.
No. I'd have to look at the pictures.
It'll come to me about 5 minutes after we go off the air. So.
Yeah. And,
it's Central North Carolina.
We did a couple shows from Happy Camp.
Happy Camp, California.
We did a show in the middle of nowhere
in the desert.
Southern California. You used to call in from Tennessee when you were down at...
I was in 13 whenever I took off and went gold mining and got established with Oro Expeditions. Matter of fact, that being the 9th of May back in 2013, it was the same as this year. It rained a lot. Down where I was at in eastern Tennessee, western North Carolina, it was raining probably 3 to 4 or 5 days every week, which didn't leave a lot of time for gold mining, but it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. I got into the whole gold mining community, and the rest is history, right up through 2015 when we spent the whole summer on the banks of the Klamath River.
Well, and when we did Chasing the Silver Eagle, you were always somewhere.
Somewhere every weekend I would stop and be either Vermont or down south. Yep. And then there's things that we are yet to explore that are coming up in the future, like the Flaming Gorge area to look for
fire opals.
And we need to make a return trip back to the Mount Ida, Arkansas area for some more water clear quartz crystal. Looking forward to that one of these days.
And
Crater of Diamonds, which we've never been to, even though we drove right past it.
Well, it was closed. It was Sunday, and it was closed.
Yeah.
Plus, we want to go to Herkimer, New York.
And get some Herkimer diamonds. Yeah.
They call them diamonds.
And if we end up with another 5-year run on the radio, we'll probably be taking all of our audience with us on all these grand adventures. So you want to be sure and stay tuned. It'll be going to be a lot of fun.
Well, that's the nice thing about when you're out in an RV, most of the RV parks have nice, strong internet connections. So it won't be as tough as it was when we were in the North Carolina.
Okay. Still can't think of it. Oh, well. I got 4 minutes left. 4.5 minutes left to think of it. But anyhow, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up so Rosalie has time to finish her song today.
Thermal City,
yep. I could see city, but I couldn't come up with thermal. Thermal City, North Carolina. Look it up if you want to go do some recreational gold mining. We highly recommend the place. It's a new crew there. Not too many years ago, the place switched hands, and the people that own it now, we haven't been there since it did that, but we've heard a lot of good things and follow them on Facebook and everything. So, yeah, Thermal City. And then... we also highly recommend on every show to check out Gold Prospectors Association of America and Lost Dutchman Mining Association. If you really want to get into some recreational mining, and especially if you're out west listening to us in the 11 Western, they have 400 or 500 different claims and sites where you can go all over the country. If you're a member, it used to be about $85 a year for the GPAA. Also, if you're in the Northern California, Oregon, Washington area, whatever, a group in Happy Camp called New 49ers is the same deal. They have most of their claims and things on the Klamath River, quite a few miles of claims there. So a great way to get into it and learn from people that do it all the time. And
AMRA, American Mining
American Miners
Rights Association.
American
right. Mining Rights Association.
They have their own claims now, so they're a cool group. But we're always going to be talking about mining one way or another because it's something that we're going to be returning to once we are able to hit the road again. So be sure and stay tuned for all of that. And I believe Leroy has left the building. I'm not sure. Let me check and see.
That's good.
And security's trying to get him out right now. I think security's escorting him to the door now.
Sounds like it.
But anyhow, we're going to kick it off out of here, and we're glad that people will be listening to this in archive. Be sure and come back and join us Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. For the time being, that's our schedule, and we look forward to having a lot of people join us in the chat room and come. You can even call in and get on the air with us at the call-in number 515-602-9763. And I believe somebody's here to sing her song, so let's cut her loose, and we'll be back on Tuesday at 9 p.m. More later.
Below a bed of stars, no sign of trucks or cars, just you and I over the sea. When the tide came in, you had to find high ground to save me. That seems to be just what you do. I can only hope with all my heart that maybe, if you're gonna move along, you're always gonna wanna take me too. Oh, don't matter if we're rich or poor, you know we've both been there before. And I'd follow you around the world till the end of time. A twin bed in a cheap hotel, the big city never did us well. Busted TV and a broken chair. Holding hands down the avenue, watching all the silly things that people do. But we stroll along without a care. When the rain came down, you threw your coat on the ground to save me. Oh, that seems to be just what you do. I can only hope with all my heart that maybe, baby, if you're gonna move along, you're always gonna wanna take me too. Ooh, don't matter if I'm rich or poor, you know.